As I mentioned earlier, in the Christian calendar, the season of Advent is a season of preparation that we had just celebrated the 4 weeks before December 25th. The season of Christmas is more than just one day. It's actually 12 days that Christians all around the world celebrate. And it is met on the culmination of Epiphany, the revelation that God had brought salvation and abundant life through Christ, not only for God's people, but for all the world. And this is marked by the Magi, the wise men, coming to visit the infant Christ. And so we read from the Epiphany story in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The turn of a decade is always a curious time to celebrate the new year. We want to look forward in time, but we usually look backwards in time. And the last significant decade ending or beginning in zero was the 1999 to 2000 decade, some 20 years ago. And we remember the whole world was going to fall apart, right? The year 2000 bug was going to bring about the apocalypse. Our computers wouldn't work. ATM machines wouldn't work. We didn't know if we were going to get paid. But of course, none of that happened at all. For me personally, this new year 2020 is particularly noteworthy. I turned 40 this year, and I'm at a point in my life where I can look at two halves of my life. The first half growing up, and the second half growing out. As someone who was ambitious for the first 20, I was trying to learn and figure everything out and try to get people to notice me. Then in the second half of life, it took me 20 years to figure out that nobody was ever really looking at me or noticing me, so why should I try anymore? But the turning of the year forces us to look back, forces us to look forward. And what tends to get lost in this backward and looking forward is the celebration of the Epiphany, the story of God's revelation that God had brought the good news to the world, not just his chosen people, but to Gentiles, represented by the Magi. They knew something was going on. God was up to something new. And they had watched the stars in the sky of this revelation to occur, to lead them. We readers of the story know that God was up to something big, but they, the Magi, the wise men, did not. On the surface, we mainly see an epiphany as kind of an aha moment, a moment when an idea or a thought or a concept comes into focus. We usually see epiphanies as the unknown becoming known. It was a hidden idea or concept, but now it is something that has been discovered. My family had this kind of aha moment this Christmas when my in-laws had gifted us one of those Wi-Fi robot vacuums, you know, those round ones that go around and suck up everything. And my children, they thought, oh my gosh, we never have to vacuum again. That was their epiphany. My epiphany was that robot vacuums are great and useful, but it doesn't replace the need for them to use their own hands to pick up things on their own. But this is how we primarily see epiphanies, as revelations of thought, ideas, or new learnings. And in the 21st century, these places of discovery usually take the form of some new technology, right? You know, I can shop on Amazon and 2 days later something could be at my door, or now we can control our garages or our homes on our watches now. Or we can join with people all over the country to exercise on their Peloton machine. Cars can park themselves, parallel parking. You know, these are all wonderful new discoveries of knowledge or something of what a device can do. It's the aha, my life is easier moment. It's surprise of newness. But this morning, I want to bring to your attention something that you may have not considered about the story in the Bible. The epiphany of Christ's birth and how the epiphany was revealed clues us into something really big about how we see our lives, both looking forward but also looking backward. These Magi, probably from Persia, are not well known to the original readers and hearers of the book of Matthew. Matthew primarily wrote his book to a Jewish audience. And these astrologers are not a part of the community of God. They were not a part of the covenant of promise of salvation to God, to his people in the Old Testament. These Magi were not the chosen, as the Israelites were. They were Gentiles. They were outsiders from afar, set out on their journey to see Jesus following this cosmological event. Perhaps this is why it's shocking to King Herod and those in the land that these outsiders come with this revealed knowledge, this epiphany. Where is the one born King of the Jews? In history, we know Herod to be a bit of a control freak and a murderous ruler, just a ruthless king. And Herod does what the world usually wants to do with new knowledge, exploit it and control it. He wants nothing to do with someone or something that could usurp his control and power. And we know later on in the chapter, Herod had all of the newborns killed in Bethlehem to make sure this new king would not be a threat to him. But what Herod didn't know was that God was doing something new, and it didn't fit into Herod's plans. God comes in a concealed form as a child, born in Bethlehem. How true is that in our own lives? God has a tendency to come to us disguised. I've learned that God comes to us disguised as our life, or your life. The incarnation, the understanding that God comes in human form on earth in Jesus Christ, is disguised as a baby to Herod. Herod just sees this new news, this infant, as a threat. But the Magi, the wise men, they come with this news seeking more. Herod doesn't want this news to get out, but the Magi wish to go and experience and worship what God has done. In our own lives, we often fall into what I call the temptation of a Herod reaction. That when God does something new or different in our lives, we want to reject it. Because it's totally out of our knowledge base. We don't like it when God does something new or different. And so, without knowing it, we begin to try to diminish God's epiphanies. We want to stamp out God's epiphanies because God's epiphanies usually require ourselves to move beyond where we are. There's trouble in someone's life, someone needs us. God is drawing us to something new, an opportunity here at church, in our life, in our family, and we run. And we run far away. We don't want God or anyone else to challenge or somehow threaten the fragile hold on what we think we know or control about our lives. But the reality is, in the spiritual life, we need God epiphanies. We need not only to learn about the good news, we need to experience the good news. We need to experience God's epiphanies. I like how spiritual writer and priest Richard Rohr frames it. He says this, "Religion without epiphanies becomes digging in your heels. Religion with epiphanies becomes living on your heels, ready to go wherever God manifests." I've learned that this is where we find the most value and meaning in life, on our heels. This is precisely what the Magi do. They live life on their heels and they lean into this epiphany. They go to Bethlehem and see what has happened. They know about this king, but they've yet to experience this king, Jesus, born to save the world. They go from knowing about God to experiencing God, experiencing what God is doing. The Magi are willing to know about God, but it's this transformation from thinking into living into a new direction with God. Several years ago, I experienced this movement from knowing into being and this transformation that happened in my own life. And God came disguised as my life. After my wife and I had our first two children, I was certain that we were done having children. Both my kids, Rowan and Eva, they were out of diapers, and I'm like, this is great. This is amazing. I had forgotten what life was like in a world where diapers didn't exist anymore. No more infant seats, sippy cups. However, my wife wanted to have more children, and we had some challenges in conceiving, but it was possible. And so Christina and I had conversations about having more children, and I was just absolutely opposed to it. I liked having two children, one boy, one girl. I could do that. I had a handle on that as a dad, as a pastor. A family of four, it fit well, just the way I wanted it. I knew life would be easier this way. You know, I would only have to pay for two colleges and not nine colleges. Maybe there would only be one wedding involved to pay for. You know, having two children was just the way to go. It's just the way I liked the way my life was going to be. But it was a source of tension in our relationship. More children, no more children. And this went back and forth for some time. But my mind was made up on this topic. I thought that what we had was what was best for our family, and I was super sure about it. But shortly after I came to this non-diaper world conclusion, I was asked to represent my denomination on a peace mission to Israel and Palestine. And as I went, for some reason, this conversation, this tension about having more children was on my mind as I traveled halfway around the world. And like the Magi, our group visited Bethlehem. And during that day, we went from Bethlehem and into Jerusalem, which is nearby. And it was in that moment of transition that I was drawn to all of the families that were visiting the Holy Land. Families, 5, 6, 7, 8 or more children were traveling from afar together to come and visit the holy sites. How could these fathers and mothers do it? The juggling, the patience, the sippy cups, the diapers, how? Well, as I watched and observed these families, I realized that God was taking me down a new path. Do I reject it? Do I follow where I was being led? And so I started to pray on this during my journey. And I started journeying with God about this topic, dwelling on this thing that I was so certain of. But something started to change within my frame of mind about my family, that these parents could make life work and career work and a mortgage and all the challenges with 7 kids. Why couldn't I? Well, maybe not 7 kids, maybe just like 1 more. But it was that day that I had an epiphany, a God epiphany. Not a mere change in something that I knew or something I could think about, but a revelation from an experience of a journey with God. As I continued on our peace mission, that strong stance I had about not having more kids just began to fall away. And all the certainty and all the sure decision against it and all the reasons of not having other children just completely changed. That God had done something amazing within my heart. So there I was, on a journey to the Holy Land, Bethlehem, thinking I was on a peace mission for others, when I found out that I was on a peace mission for myself. I had a God epiphany. And after some struggles with conception, Christine and I, we had our 3rd child, Killian. And my life was full, changed forever, for the better. And I couldn't imagine my life without all 3 of our children. It's been an amazing experience, and it continues to be an amazing experience as a father. But I went from living life digging in my heels to living life on my heels. I learned that God's epiphanies come to us when we think we're least ready for a journey, a new path, that God begins to start us on that new journey or path. And in life, we can't always take the same roads, the same routines, the same patterns, the same ways of thinking. We must be willing to allow God to direct us to new opportunities. Or like Herod, we dig in our heels. As I said earlier, God has a tendency to come to us disguised as your life. But when you live life on your heels, amazing things begin to happen. Now, you don't have to go to the Holy Land to experience a God epiphany. But you must go another road in your life to get there. You, like the Magi, must risk following God, not knowing where you're going to end up or not knowing how things will end. But when you open yourself to God's epiphanies like the Magi, you begin to journey with God and you leave changed. Like the Magi, you go home in your life by a different road, a different experience. That you are so changed by God's epiphany, you leave transformed. You leave transformed not in how you think, but how you behave. Today, maybe you're looking into 2020, but you're looking backwards because you don't like what you see in your life, things you've done, mistakes, choices, decisions, and you're looking for a change, but you don't know what you need to do. Or today, maybe you're looking to 2020 and you're looking forward, and you have a degree of uncertainty about your life, your job, your family, your relationships, your opportunities. Maybe you know something is amiss, but you don't know what needs to change. in reality, you don't need a change in thinking, but a change in being. And it only happens when you allow God to lead you down new journeys, new ways of destination of your heart and your mind. And that's where God does God's best shaping of you. God's epiphanies are not an aha moment of knowing, but an aha patterning of your life around new opportunities. You could start here at our church, in our community of faith, joining a new study, serving on one of our mission teams, volunteering with our youth or children. You can start right here in this new year. So as you enter 2020, what are you digging your heels in with? What are you so certain about? What is it that you absolutely will not do? Ask yourself, as you move into 2020, are you living life digging in your heels? Or are you willing to live on your heels, experiencing God's epiphany? May you live life on your heels and have a God epiphany on your journey of life. Let us pray. God, many of us are challenged by new opportunities, new ways, new groups of people. God, we like our pattern. We like the groups of people we're already in. We like the well-worn roadways of life that we're used to, the clubs we're a part of, the communities a part of. And God, we don't want anything new. But Lord, help us see that when you show up in our life disguised as our life, that God, you may be opening new doorways. And maybe, God, the very thing that we're digging our heels in with is the very thing that we need to live on our heels with. So God, stir within our hearts how you are moving and shaping in our lives in this new year. God, may you open us up to new pathways and experiences so that we may have a God epiphany in the ways in which we behave, in the ways in which we're transformed through our hearts. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.